Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the work that you do in us, and for that thing that you birth in us, that thing that cannot be stopped. We thank you because increasingly we know what we are made of, and we know the times in which we stand, and we know what we ought to do. And now in the name of Jesus, I pray, O Father, that each and every heart is touched here today to stand up and move in the direction of their divine purpose, that nobody shall be a hearer of the word, but we shall all be doers of the word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because this knowledge of what we ought to do, the spirit of the son of Issachar, who had understandings of the time, comes upon each and everybody here. And I thank you, Lord, because we know what is going on. We know the signs of the times. And I thank you, Spirit of God, that more than 20 years ago, when you were calling me to be an end time minister, 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar, when you made it known to me that it was my work to understand the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, because this is passed on to each and every person under my hearing this day, that we shall not do things of yesteryears, and we shall not be caught doing the right things but in the wrong time, but we shall be swept in the knowledge of the present truth, and we shall walk in it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. For what is the present truth? You see, the thing about present truth is it's updated every time, every season. Praise the Lord. It is not static. It keeps on moving because it has to go with the present. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, actually, the one I wanted is verse, but we'll start here. The one though I want is the next one, but it says, therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. Now it is God who works in you both to will and then to do according to his good pleasure. So the work of God in you starts with you willing, or you wanting, or you desiring, or you seeing a need, or you seeing a gap, or you seeing anything that is lacking, and then it works in you that will, the will to actually move in that direction. Now that's the beginning of the work. Then, afterwards, it works in you to do according to his good pleasure. Now there's something, I don't know if I've said this, told you this thing, story before, but I realized the fullness of how God can set you up. I'm using that word again. Like how God can do something in you and work you up to get to a certain place, because he's preparing you to be ready for an opportunity that is coming. Praise the Lord. Now, and then you find that the greatest things in your life actually happen when you're as if not looking for them. Okay? So they just happen. They happen like that. So I think it must have been around 2011 when one day I read a book by some guy, and I look at the book and I said, this, I probably have said this before. If I have, it's okay. You can take two. But I wanted to demonstrate this, to bring it to your realization, the way the Spirit of God works in certain ways. So I read some guy who had written a book, and it was a very good message, a really good message, but it was so badly written and so badly edited with so many typos and what. So, but I struggled to read through it. And you see, somebody like me who has worked as an editor, typos annoy me. Now other people just go over them, but for me, I become personal. I get personal. Like seeing it's something with wrong sentence. Even this, you know, even in WhatsApps, if you write me those half things, I get angry. Because for some reason, you know, it's trained. You're trained to write, you know, there is. So then you know, there is T-H-E-R-E. Not T-H-E-I. Not T-H-E-I-R. So those small things annoy me. So you see, can this, and now you even see them sometimes on television. When somebody is saying, so and so mourns the passing of somebody, and they write M-O-A-N. And you see it even passing in the newspapers. Mourns. But of course what they want to write is M-O-U-R-A-N. Now I get angry. So now this guy annoyed me by getting a good message and ruining it. But I read through it, and then for some reason, it did not escape me. I stayed with it. And I was like, but Ugandans, why don't they get people to edit their books? Why don't they do this? So I, you know, became angry that this guy didn't get somebody to edit his book. Now, I don't know why I was even angry, but I got angry. So it took two weeks, when I'm still thinking about how that guy, how can he not edit his book? 2 weeks. Then now something happened after 2 weeks. I was driving going to Bukoto. So I had a choice of going through town and going through, Acacia, you know, that way, Kamocha and so on. But somehow I felt maybe I should take this other route and go Lugogo bypass, which actually I think is shorter, a lot shorter. I don't even know why I considered the other one. Now, then when I'm passing, I'm passing game, I just get the idea, but why don't I, because I left home in a hurry, so I hadn't taken coffee. So I said, why don't I just go here and get a takeaway, you know, cappuccino, and then I drive, because I was expected, you know, in the office. Now I think I'm just, so I say, they will wait a bit, let me go and get some coffee, because it's anyway good. It's better talk to me when I've had coffee than when I've not. So I branch there. Now, when I reach there, I'm going inside. Then I find Prophet Elvis there in his car. He had the old Harrier that time. I find him seated in his car like this. So I'd seen him a few times. I used to go to his fellowship. I'd seen him a few times. Not a few, but I would just go. I was just somebody who came to his fellowship and was fascinated by his prophecies. So he rolls down the window. And the first thing he tells me is, I have written a book. Then I say, I hope you, because I've been thinking about this. So I say, I hope you give somebody to edit it. Because I am sure, because of course I knew what he was. I'm sure what you're writing is so powerful, but it can be ruined by the edit. I hope you gave somebody to edit it. Then actually said, actually, you give it to me, I'll edit it. Then he just, you know, smiled. Then I went in for my coffee. Now, when I went in for my coffee, when I came out holding my coffee, walking to my car, then he says, yeah, actually, I think I'll give it to you to edit it. So he took my number, and then he sent somebody to bring me, you know, the transcript. Now, here is what happens. He was home, and the Lord told him, drive and go to Good African Coffee. You're going to meet somebody who will edit your book. He told me that later. So he goes and he parks there. When I told him, give me the book to edit, when I went inside, the Lord told him, that's the person. Then when I came out, he said, yes, you edit now. The thing is, there are so many things I would not have been if I hadn't met him. But I was going for a cup of coffee. But you see, God had set me up. Maybe if I had not read the other guy's book and got angry, he would have told me that I'm writing a book. I say, yeah, good for you. Then I go for what? I go for my coffee and even take another direction. But you see, God had sent him there. Go and go to Good African Coffee. Wait there, somebody. Now, then you realize even small decisions, like going to take a cup of coffee, the Lord is in what? Is setting you up. You understand it? Now, and then, he started working in you. Then you realize, so even me reading the other book and getting angry and all that was all a setup for one moment. You understand? Because it is God who works in you both to will. Now, the work of God in that thing started when I read the book and got angry. Now, it is God working in you, first of all, to will. Then you will, then you get angry, then you get worked up, and you don't know it's the Holy Spirit, but for him, he knows what he's setting you up for. You understand? Now, then suddenly you land in it. Now, the greatest things in your life happen that way. Now, some people even miss their destinies in marriage because they are trying to overthink it. Don't. By the way, you land on the right person through setup. You understand? That's how it works. Like, just find out anybody who try to, you know, these are the qualities. Those ones always mess themselves up. The right person comes and you've made your mind block what should be a natural process. You understand? Because it's one of the most natural processes. Even more natural than blinking. A man is supposed to meet a woman. And a woman is supposed to meet a what? Natural. God made. Don't overthink. You understand? Anything that is natural and you try to overthink, you actually miss the direction of God so easily. Miss the direction of God. Now, then I realized, if my decision to pass the other direction and my decision to go and have coffee were actually set up, what other things is he setting up? Because did he stop then? No, he didn't. So what other things is he setting up? Or in your life, the person you meet there, and you know, then I realize powerful, powerful things happen. You met somebody there, you did this, and this is something you can succumb to and like let God lead you in that direction, and then you don't try to overuse your mind to do things which are not supposed to be for your mind. Okay? So then you just allow yourself to be, and then somehow you go from one thing to the next, and then you realize that. I'll give you an example. When I got into media, I discovered why God had put me there and why it was important for me to be there and how I was supposed to serve a purpose which is lasting even up to today and is going to continue lasting. You understand? But then, here is how it happened. Some friend of mine, they locked, I think, his house for rent. They put a second padlock. I hope nobody is familiar with that experience today. So the guy comes to my place. In some cases, they just take a small one room. You know those rooms. You carry your bath to go and bathe behind. And then when you're bathing, somebody is what? See? So chicks would bathe like at 1 a.m. But me, I didn't care. Okay. And you're lucky if the person is going to ease themselves somewhere. But let's not get there. Lest I disgust you guys. Now, so I'm there. So the guy comes and says, I'm coming, you know. And you know, that was no mobile phones. I think they were there, but not for people like us that time. So the guy just shows up at your door and says that, man, they've locked me. I'm sleeping here today. And of course, I knew him. So I said, no problem. So yeah. We sit down to, you know. Then, we have a cup of, you know, Nguvu coffee, I used to, you know, Nguvu coffee. And sometimes even those landlords never wanted, you know, percolators, that they overtake power. So you'd even sometimes go and get hot water, buy hot water from those people, like a flask. So anyhow, we take coffee and half a kilo of sugar and what, you know. So, those days they even say half quarter. They even measure in... Do you know there was actually a measurement of spoons? So you go, Jiko Bidi. And you take your nguvu. And me, I liked it hot. As long as it was hot, anything could pass. So we were taking our coffee there. Then this gentleman tells me that, but why don't you join the media? I said, but I've never done anything to do with me. First of all, I was grassing. I was trying to do, those jobs we used to do, building engineering jobs. You have a contract, you have some money, then it ends, then you have no money. So you are in a what? You are in a valley at that moment. And just wondering, God, what next? What next? Now, this guy said, why don't you go and join the media? I say, well, I didn't study anything to do with media. He says, no problem. I know so many people who didn't study anything to do with media, and they are not even half the writer that you are. He knew me from Namiriango, that I was a very good writer. I would write essays and they pin them on the notice board. And it was just a classic exercise. Then for me, they don't mark me, they just pin me. So he knew me to be a good writer. So he said, why don't you, go and join? So I said, how do I do it? He said, now, go to this place. There's this guy. The guy I knew him, actually, was ahead of me in Namiriango, so I kind of knew him. He said, just tell him to, So I reached there. I told the gentleman that the newspaper was called Crusader. It died, like so many other newspapers. So I told him that I want to write. I've come here to write. Then he told me, I expected some kind of interview. He said, no, just go and write something and bring it. I said, what do I write? He said, write anything. I said, anything? He said, anything. So I said, okay. So I went home, got an exercise book, tore out, I started writing in what? In pen. Big. So I wrote, then I finished, then I took it to him. Now that was, when I went there, I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday. Wednesday, I think. So he told me, come and check on me on Monday. So when I came on Monday, he was not in office. They told me he comes late. But see, I didn't have a lot to do. So sitting there in the office waiting for him was, not a big thing to ask. So I sat there, and a nice receptionist handed me a newspaper, their newspaper. And guess what I see? I see my story there with my name. Now, when I wrote, I even forgot to put a name. When he looked at it, he said, you write your name here. So I wrote my name. Now, I'm looking at the newspaper, I'm seeing my article. So he said, hey, so it was that good. So I read through, and he has actually made just a few changes. Anyhow, long story short, my whole media thing started with somebody having a second padlock on their Muzigo. And then having to come to what? To mine, Now, do you see, God is in charge of our lives. You understand, Now, for him, he knew I was going to go and be over best sports journalist of over how many years. I was, by the way. And best one, but you're seeing that. But me, I was just looking for a job, something to do. So that's how it all started. And that's how, then you look back and say, so all along God was setting all this thing, every single thing of my life had the input of God. Up to now, you are going to, in 2 weeks' time, I am going to tell Prophet that you are going to edit his book. But for you to be ready, first read a fake book. Then first get angry. Then now you see the whole build up. Praise the Lord. Now, since that time, I know that so many things are set up by God. Like, there is not a single believer. This is not what I came to preach, though. Like, for whom there is a preposition, something that comes to you that is either not from God or from the kingdom of darkness. Now, even when God is setting you up for something powerful, the kingdom of darkness will also have its what? Its alternative. And then you have to be able to know that it is not by chance that somebody suddenly comes and proposes to you something. Then you say, is this from the kingdom of God or from the kingdom of darkness? Then you should be able to discern and say, I think there is a word of my life that I'm going in this direction. This thing seems to be pulling me in the opposite direction. So maybe it is not from my kingdom which I serve. Praise the Lord. Now, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now think about King David, the man who goes and looks after sheep, and the sheep are attacked by a lion and a bear, and he goes and kills them. And he's a good shepherd of his father's few sheep. as his brother one day reminded him. But God is setting him up for something bigger. Amen? So when I look into, and you see, that's the story of that's the whole story of the Bible. Divine setup. Everything is divinely set up. This person did this and they met this person. Then this one, this, it's all set up. Now when you see, then go and take supplies to your brothers. Now God is seeing this man is ready to be taken away from the sheep to something bigger. So the father sends him, take these things. Then he arrives there and there is something which has been set up through the testimonies he has been through what. So he arrives there and in right in the nick of time and says, is there no cause? Now Israel is confounded. You see, he's set there, number one, for himself, for his own promotion. Number two, to save Israel, because the Philistines were going to hammer them. But God has been preparing him. Now you imagine, think about this. There is this moment ahead. God has been preparing the person who was going to do it several, probably years earlier. And now that moment has arrived. So everybody is confounded by, you know, the Philistine. And then David comes and says, but who is this man? Then says, is there no cause? Praise the Lord. Is there no what? Cause. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to know that we are moving away from a period when the gospel was about speaking, and about warning, and about telling, and about praying. Now it is about doing. Amen? I'll give you an example. Now, Facebook said the other day that they are banning white nationalism and separatism. And they are sending out requests. They have already sent a request to the Zoo Facebook page, telling them to reapply. Okay? Now, that's what is going to be happening. Haven't I told you those things before? Now, the difference is that it was not just to know. It was to provide an alternative. Praise the Lord. It was to do what? I remember a time when I would sit outside my house with, usually it would be Sunday, some friends of mine. Some of them worked in government, so they knew some of the, you know, fake things that would happen in government. And some those days, those things were not as widespread as they are now, where everybody knows. So these people would tell me how, you know, this debt money is being divided out between people and now we are going to have to pay it with a lot of interest and so on. So somehow you get those stories and I would get so angry and worked up. And that's all we have actually talked about. Fake things. Then one day, fake things in the government. Then one day, as I'd finished on a Sunday, those people would finish and go. And so the public come in the evening and we sit and have tea and jazz. Sometimes there would be some Premier League we watch, you know, from my place and talk until 10 in the evening, then they go. Now, when I just finished, I actually would go earlier because I had a TV show. So I would say, okay, guys, I have to go for TV. Then you go. And now when I came back, I was still angry about that. The things we've been talking. Then the Lord told me that you either criticize your nation or you pray for it. You cannot do both. He first told me, pray for your nation. That scripture, you know, pray for in, I think, 2 Timothy. Pray for the, you know, what's it? 1 Timothy or 2nd, 2 Timothy. I desire men, you know, pray for, you know, yeah, kings and people in authority and so on. So now how can you pray for somebody whom you've been what? So he told me, you either criticize or you pray. You can't do both. So now from that time, I actually started cutting myself away from those, you know, people. Because I realized that it's a mindset, a talking mindset, which makes you go in the place where you get just righteousness through criticism. You understand? Have you ever seen these people even in the church? Their work is to what? Criticize. If you tell them now go and preach, or go and teach this, go and do it. No, they are not interested. They are just interested in seeing what is wrong. And it gives them a certain sense of fulfillment. Of like, for your work is just to point out what is wrong. But you see why they are wrong things. They are actually somebody there who is doing things. So you can sit here and say, man, our schools are messed up. You know, now there's homosexuality and what. But we can also go and say we are forming a watchman schools team and go and teach them about the end time. Now, guess on that day who has a reward? Not the one who talks about what is wrong. The one who does. You understand? So then I realized that, okay, so you pray for kings, pray for what? You know? Then eventually, you start actually. You remember even when we were having this fellowship up there in here, conference hall. I would come and say, let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation. Now, what are we praying for? Good leadership. I remember that time when Israelis came here 40 years since Netanyahu lost his brother. You remember, I was so angry at the way this, you know. So you get angry and pray, God give us good leadership. But then you don't realize that actually, that now the gospel of today is now go and do it. Don't just talk. Don't just pray. Go and do what? The only way it is going to be done the right way is when you're doing it. Okay? So if you see street children and you're touched by them and say, but really, how can these street children do it? It is God working in you to will. And then later to do what? To do. Now the fact that you see it and it touches you and you're so touched by it and what, you know, like that is God working in you to will. Like he's setting you up for something. Now, the problem is some people stop at that point of where you're so concerned. Then you die of empathy and sympathy and whatever pathy. But you've done nothing. And there is no reward for that. There is a reward for somebody who moves it away from that level and says, I am going to be the solution. Amen? And then God says, you're the right solution. And now he will not make you be so worked up about something for which you're not going to be a solution. Like the story I told you about what? The book. I was supposed to do a work. So he first set me up, put me in the right emotion. Then when I got to that point, I was ready. Now this is all of us. Praise the Lord. Now, so if you say, now World Food Program, we've spoken here about, I spoke here about how they are going to block all channels. This to try and close, block the voices of Christianity on these social media channels. I spoke that as an interim teacher. But then, I have told some people here whom I know have the ability to create social platforms which we can use without going to Facebook. We don't need them. But you see, if I tell you this is what they are going to do, and you stop at just knowing that's what they are going to do, where is the solution? What does it help us to know? Then it happens, then we are doing nothing. So, okay, we know. Now, they say they are starting white nationalism. The minute they start censure, eventually there will be no Christianity on Facebook, there will be, except this, you know, frozen chosen Christianity. It will be the only one that will be there. Now, then we knew beforehand what they were going to do, and we did nothing about it. Now, you think how does that help the kingdom of God? That me, I knew they were going to do it. You see, either now they've done it. How does that benefit the kingdom of God? There has to be somebody. What is so, where is Joe? Joe, what is so difficult about doing? Now, with the sort of knowledge you have, okay, you know, here is the thing, because when it comes to anything to do with technology, me, I'm completely impotent. Totally, by the way, completely. I even prepare my mind not to understand when you start telling me things which have anything to do with what? With computers and what? My mind is already shut off because I've told myself that's not my area. You understand? But we have technical. Now, how can we not have our own social platform when we've known this for how many years? And I've been teaching you this. Now, this is not all. They are going to block so many other things. Where you get to a point where you say, okay, block it. We don't need it. We do not need you. Now, people can sign up on you from anywhere in the world. And they listen without going to their platform. But you see, now in those countries, they have not understood the gospel that we are preaching right now, which is totally different from what it has always been. Praise the Lord. It's what it is different. Ours is you have to go and do something about. If you know, what have you done about it? If you know that they are going to block agricultural products and fill the market with genetically modified products for the purpose that people are dependent on them for seed. And we know that God at creation says every living being has within itself the ability to recreate. Okay? The ability to create the next mango tree is in the previous one. So God does not create again. Now, if they are trying to break that and bring where everything you go to plant, you have to go and go back to them for seed. Now, so you know that. Now, you even have 50 acres of land somewhere in your village. But you come here, listen, and you say, man, these guys, they are going to do this. But you can go and plant organic things
and be that thing which the world needs. Praise the Lord. And be a solution. Now, when you do it, another person does, another person does. By the time they come with their GMO, we are in total control. We don't need their stuff. We can feed this nation with organic things. Praise the Lord. Now, haven't we spoken about GMO and the GMO bill and all that? Haven't we? Okay, how many people saw that as a reason enough for them to go and actually put up a farm and do things differently? So you be there. We talk about bad leadership. God is saying you are the one who is going to be the good leader. But for you say, I'm here, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher of the word. Of the word. So, okay. Go to Luke chapter 10. I want to show you how times change and the gospel changes according to the what? By gospel, I don't mean the foundations of the gospel of Jesus Christ died for us and what. I mean how the kingdom of God operates. Okay? Okay. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Okay? Then he said to them, what did he say? Okay. But the laborers are few. Now that is true for today. I've given you an example of agriculture. The harvest is great. But how many people are actually involving themselves in agriculture? Now, we've heard it before even from prophet, how, you know, the one thing God gave our nation is to be a food basket. Haven't we heard that before? Yes, that is. And every nation under the earth, God gave a way in which the people they are in will survive. Now, that's why we are the ones who have two seasons. You'll have two seasons of maize, two seasons of what? You cannot have that even in Kenya. Nobody has it. It's Uganda. Unique. Why is that? It's by appointment of God that this is how Uganda will, you know, this is one thing which will make you stand out. Now, why? Because in this end time, we've spoken before, I told you about the trumpets, how the idea is to control all the food in the world. We've spoken about this. And then when they are controlling the food in the world, they cause scarcity. You know, it says that in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. You first read that and we see. Opens, I see. Come and see. So I looked behold the black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. Okay? I heard a voice in the midst of four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. I told you this is talking about famine because the denarius is a day's wage. So you work one day and you go home with just a third kilo of flour. Just that's all your payment. A third kilo of flour. That does not include rent, what, even the fuel you're going to use. Now that is... Food is very scarce. This is so we know this. And we've read how many times have we read this verse here before? So many. Now, who is being a solution? Who is working to do? Who is accepting God to work in them to do? Praise the Lord. So you have some kind of foreknowledge, but it does not amount to anything because it is not followed by action. Now, okay, let's go back to the verse we are reading. And he said, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Okay? But therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, this is talking about souls, but not just souls. That's just one dimension of it. Okay? So he said, let's pray God, send out evangelists to go and preach the gospel. That's just one dimension of it. The harvest for everything is great. Okay? And the laborers for everything are few. Praise the Lord. So we are praying God to go and send farmers. So that when the new world order come and bring their hunger, Uganda is, or even the whole region, depending on how big you can be, is covered. And for us, we don't need your anything. We don't need your seeds. For us, we have organic seeds. We harvested and we kept some to plant the next time. The way it is in Genesis. You understand? Yeah. Now, food, all these things. Every single thing, the solution is in the people whom God has entrusted this knowledge. Now, all they need to do is to take the knowledge beyond just words and stop seeing themselves as... And here's where the issue comes in. So many people actually underestimate their potential. Eh? And I see that all the time. All the time, somebody comes to you and you can see they have tremendous potential. And you see, look at them and see it and they don't see it. They are somehow, it's somehow obscured from them. And they have... What is so special about a social networking
platform. I can assure you, Joe, if God had gifted me your skill in that area, would have won by now. But he denied me that skill. And he made me a technophobe. I have a phobia for technology. Even simple things on the TV, I have to call somebody to help me. So even my phone is for calling and WhatsApp. Which I also learned. When everybody was WhatsApping me, I was on SMS. Okay. Therefore, praise the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into the field. Now go ahead. The one that actually wants is in front. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Now this is true for then. It is true for now. When you step out to do things different, when you step out to resist the GMO thing and do your thing, or whatever it is you're doing, you are going to be like a lamb among wolves. Because there is a certain force that is trying to push people, is trying to push everybody to go the direction of the New World Order. Because for them, they have budgets, they have the sponsor MPs to go and come back and pass. You know that thing. Now, so you're going to still be like lambs among wolves. Go ahead. Carry neither the money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. Now, you keep it there. Keep it there. Carry neither money. Go and do this without money. Nor knapsack. What's a knapsack? That kind of thing where you keep money. What is it? That car, you know? People used to carry them long time ago. The car thing here at the side. Nor sandals. And greet no one along the way. Carry neither money, bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Can you go with one pair? If they wear out, those are yours. Don't take a second what? Pair. Okay, go to verse 5. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Okay? And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. That's right. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Okay? Then heal the sick. What? And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Okay? The kingdom of God has come where? Near you. Not yet inside of you. Near you. We're just demonstrating to you a bit of the kingdom of God. Now, this is Jesus saying this. Can you imagine he tells them to go with nothing? No money bag, no knapsack, no extra anything. Just to go. Now, go to Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said what? Yes. Then he said to them, but now he was a money bag. Let him take it. And likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. In other words, things have changed. Do you understand? This is the same Jesus, in the same actually book. 1 minute he's telling them carry nothing. Now he's saying, no, don't even carry extra sandals. But now he's saying, no, forget sandals. Now even go with a sword. He said, sword, I mean, those, what about sword? What do you need a sword for? Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. No, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. There are places which if you go with that, the Bible, that is word of the Spirit, they will take you akakab, Now, it's only important when it's going into your spirit right now. Okay. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and make sure he has a what? Before he said, don't even take a second garment. But now say, sell one garment, make sure you have a sword. Then go to the next verse. For I said to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. Say, and he was numbered among transgressors. Somebody say, I was numbered among transgressors. In other words, you are going to have to do the things of God among people who are transgressors. And you're going to have to be numbered among them. That's why sometimes you need a what? A sword. I'm going to tell you what it's for. Don't go and pee as somebody. Amen? And he was numbered with transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. Now this is the end of the gospel.
You see his life, he fits it from the beginning to the everything about Jesus, the beginning of the gospel, everything is fitted in those 3.5 years he was on earth. Then to the end. Towards the end, he's talking about a different thing. Now, everything concerning me has an end. Now, then elsewhere, he says, I did not come to bring peace, but a what? Sword. Then he says to divide people. 5 will be divided, 2 on the one side and 3 on the other side. Eh? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of what? Now, when you don't understand this, you get offended. Praise the Lord. You get offended when the first people who resist what God is doing to you are the people of your household. The other people who don't know you will actually acknowledge it and celebrate it. It's the people closest to you who will be. Now, when you understand that a man's enemies will be those of his household, you just chill and know they have to be that way. That's how it was. Now, there's another verse I want where it says, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. It's also in the book of Luke. Let me look for it. Okay. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Start with verse 35. He says, let your waist be guarded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will guard himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Okay? And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken in. But now the verse I want to bring out, the reason I read that, go to verse 46, 44, let's go to 44. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. Okay? But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on the day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now here's the thing. The thing is, when people get wary of, and I've seen all this so many times, even among church leaders and so on, when they don't seem to see an end to all of this, and they don't understand the times in which we live. So the pastor, you started with a lot of vigor and a lot of what you should pray and fast to submit to see me. Then somewhere along the way, like there is a slackening, then he starts beating up his what? The servants. Those are the people now who start saying, if you leave this church, I'm going to curse you. You're and what? All those things. Eh? Now, by the way, let me tell you something. Any church ministry or anything, where they say if you leave, they are going to do anything to you, that is the beginning of cult. Flee. The sign of the Spirit of God is freedom of entry and exit. You come when you want, you go when you want. Nobody is going to care. Or we might care if you go to a fake place, but we are not going to pursue you. And we are not going to pray that you get cursed. No, who wants to curse you? Be blessed. Like freedom of entry and what? That's how cults start. Don't live here. Where were you last Sunday? Uh-huh. Tell us. Now what did you? Well, that is the beginning of danger. Run. Now you know those people are no longer depending on God. So anyhow, set up. Okay, verse 49. He says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Now he's talking about our times, praise the Lord. But it was his time, he said it's not yet kindled, it's not yet time for it. But he came to set fire, and then he says, how I wish it was already kindled. Go ahead, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'm distressed. I don't think I wanted to go there. We go there, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Go ahead. Do you suppose that I came to give peace? This is the version I wanted. I tell you, not at all. But rather to bring what? Division. Now a sword, division. Here he says he came to bring a sword. Now here he's saying he came to bring what? I'm trying to show you what a sword is.
It is not division, lest you are beginning to do calculation. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Okay, but I suppose I came to give peace, and I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Go ahead. From now on, 5 in one house will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Okay? Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter. That one we already read. Praise the Lord. Then he said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you don't discern this time? Okay, now the time of fire kindled, of a sword. Okay, of a sword. Now, so sell your garment and get a what? Now some of you are confused. Praise the Lord. All of you are confused. Oh dear, oh dear. Go to Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by who? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. Verse 4. For he who, the leader, the person in authority, he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, what this is telling us, that actually a sword is the symbol of authority. Amen? It's a symbol of authority, a symbol by which people are ruled. And it's a figure of speech, not necessarily a sword. Now, he says, sell your garment and get a sword. They say, we have two swords here. I said, that's good. Now, the interesting thing is, immediately after that, they came to arrest Jesus. And Peter pulls out a sword. Jesus just told them, you have two swords? That is good. Now later, Peter pulls out a sword and slices off the ear of a servant of the high priest. And Jesus says, put back the sword. Those who live by the sword, by the sword. Then he actually healed the, what? He got the ear and put it back and healed it, according to John. Actually, Matthew, according to Matthew. So, he's the one who told them to have swords. Now Peter was saying, this is the moment you're talking about, Then Jesus says, no, put it back. This has to be done now. But what he's talking about here is a period of the sword being a symbol of authority. He says, go back to 13:4, Romans 13:4. He says, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Praise the Lord. Now, what this means is that a period of no longer going somewhere, whatever house you go in, eat their food. Let them give you food. The man of God is come here, you people. If you have some cassava flour, bring. No, there was a time for that. And we mingle kalo for him. You know, once preach the gospel like that, they even make an announcement in church that this man of God came with, the pastor needs extra food, because you're staying in the pastor's house and you're eating like a teenager. So, so the pastor has to tell people, if you have some milk, bring. What? Then the guy said, but those men of God can't, they fast. Because they don't want to give. Can you imagine? Now, the time for that is what? Over. Now, you are bearing this word of authority. Which means that there are certain things where God does not expect you to complain. Now, you see, the mayor is a Muslim. Now, they are trying to abandon night prayers, that noise pollution and what? Why is the sword in his hand and not yours? You're the one supposed to have the sword. You understand? Now where we sit in a meeting, and it's, time is coming and soon, where we sit in a meeting and say, whom are we sending for mayor? So we get this, our sword, and say, since we have the money. Now previously, you go into somebody's house and he feeds you. But now if you're a minister and you're going to people's houses to feed you, I'm not going to come to your house. I don't want your food. That was then.
Now he was a knapsack, let him keep it. And he was a money bag, let him do what? That is our error. Eh? We are no longer going to people's houses expecting them to feed us. That was at the beginning, but now it's different. Now, it is authority. Why is the sword in the hands of a mayor? And they are born again people who can be mayors? So you say, So we'll come and sit among even, you know? Yeah. And say, who do we have here who can go for mayor? Then you say, you. We are giving you. Now, do you know some people? Do you remember this Ruchamzi man? Ruchamzi, they went and stopped him from what? Standing for MP. On some technicality. There in Rubaga South. But he was so popular. So he said he went home and told his children, who wants to be MP? Then said, Daddy, me said, go chari muto. Go chari. What? Then the other chick, Nampij, said to me, said, Kari, jangu tugende. He went and took her for nomination and she was elected MP. So the man even has enough sword to give it to his daughter. Now, for us, you're there hoping for the good graces to be favorably treated by people who don't believe like you. Why don't you go and do it yourself? Why don't you stand in that place of leadership? This is the gospel of today. Holding the sword in what? They do not hold the sword in vain. Eh? Now, if they come and and they find when Mr. Altuama is the mayor and they say they are shouting for us, or one of those guys come, your inferiors, and say, what? Eh? Some guy called Abdu comes to someone and say, mayor, I think we should ban night prayers. I say, okay. 2 weeks later, memo, you're warned. Another 2 weeks, fired. They do not hold the sword in what? Hey, they are allowed to use it. Anybody who goes against the plans of God, you remove the sword. Now, we have to first of all take... Now, remember he said, sell your garment. And if you don't have money for campaign, sell your garment. And get a sword. Praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Now, you see, I've been talking so long since this Mr. Utuama here, since he joined, telling him how this banking system is messed up, how what, he knows it even better than me. Because for him, he's in it. Amen? But then, don't just stop at knowing. Create a different banking system. Like, do you know that is within our... Do you understand? Eh? Because now you know so what? So we are still going to be taking our money to the same banks? Why can't somebody within our circles who actually knows so much about banking, like he does, an expert at it, come out and say, no, we can do this way. Isn't Islamic banking working? Isn't it operational? How can the sword be in the Muslims' hands? Where is remnant banking? Islamic banking, really? And they are operating on their terms, right? Now, do you see how the gospel has changed? Sword, hold your sword. A sword can be in your company. It can even be LC1. Because there will be places. Do you know we used to have to go and preach the gospel and you need a letter from the LC1? And you go and find some jihad. I say, I'm to work at it. And Chimuzim decides you can't preach. So sell your garment and get a what? Yes. He who doesn't have a sword. Like you don't allow to be in an inferior position where you're depending on somebody who does not believe like you to take decisions for you. That was a time long ago, not now. Something has changed. Eh? Everybody in their area has to be in a position where I'm holding a sword here. So when I go to a certain place and I find a remnant with a sword, I said, this is what you want. He said, yes, man of God. Here is the documentation. What? What takes 6 months to run? Because the guy there has a sword and we are the ones who sent him there. So I don't even have to go there because me, I'm a man of God. So I just send somebody, go to the mayor, Mr. Rutuama, and tell him I want this. Then he says, the watchman, I say, okay, no problem. We have people here at where? Have people here who are top people at airports. So if the watchman wants to go through VIP, when I'll go through it anyway. You understand? but you understand? Forget about me, but you know, And you know there are some countries where this is? Where even you go to police. Now somebody was telling me that Some guy went and was reporting a church, I think, in Nigeria, and a big church which has gone into these things of sword, what I'm talking about, authority in every place. So the guy goes to the policeman and tells him that these people, somebody did this and this, you know what? So the guy tells him that, who are you reporting? That I'm reporting Pastor so-and-so. The guy looks at him and says, okay, give me the evidence. The guy brings out his documents. Here is the evidence. The policeman got it and tore it in small, small pieces, threw it in the blood, and says, where is the evidence? Then he said, do you know what he told him? Said, young man, why are you trying to frustrate the gospel? Stop trying to frustrate the gospel. Get lost. Now, then people, they can't even report to police because they find a sword there. They find our sword there. Amen? They go here, they find what? Our sword. Everywhere they go, our sword. So even when, you know, now that is, this is that this thing which I'm telling you about. He does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister. Somebody say, that's me. An avenger. And to execute what? On those who practice evil. Praise the Lord. So if I am there with my sword, there are certain things that cannot pass. Because I'm God's avenger. Now previously people would read this thing as, okay, Christians, be humble, follow the law. No. Be the law. Be the one there. Like in every single situation, I hope some of you are being stirred up here today, that there is this thing of sitting back and saying, you know, now what to against the wawati, you know what, you're appealing to people who are not born again and don't even wish you good and trying to what? Then you go to then you go to judges. Do you know what the scripture says? Be wise as serpents, okay, and harmless as what? Now this is what these people do. I was reading a story of some guy who, a lady who worked for, she worked for this organization but was like the head of the Freemasons. She doesn't even know what they do. She didn't know what they did, but she's just, you know. So one day, she goes and, I think she committed a terrible traffic crime that led to the death of somebody. So she goes office the next day, shaking, and she tells her boss that, you know, I am in serious trouble. I think I'm going to jail. The boss told her, what did you do? She said, I did this and this and this and this. She said, where was it reported? Here and here. He says, don't worry. Then the case disappears because the judge is a Freemason. So she waits to be summoned to court. Nothing. She didn't know her boss was there ahead. So he just calls and says, no, there's this case here. No, this person is my secretary. Just cheater. Now. Now that's how you what? Let me tell you, that's how you be wise as serpents. Serpents, their wisdom is in their ability to hide themselves and cause damage when you're not seeing them. But for you, you're harmless to good people. But you're God's avenger of what? To those who practice what? So you do underground. So people don't know. So somebody comes and says, we are suing you. What? They go there, the judge. Who is this against? Joseph Kablete. Okay. I had Janet until 2021. Now, you know, some of you people think this, that's not right. That's not right. You take your religion, go back to Frozen Chosen. They are going to dominate you when you're saying, no, that's not right. They waste your time. You're running all over the place, doing what? You understand? Dominion, that's it. Where they go to the judge is one of you. They go to police, the policeman is one of you. See, what is it? That they are making noise for us at night. They be praying, Shakakara Santana. What is that which we need to regulate? What? The policeman says, okay, first sit there. The next time, even somebody goes, what are you doing here? You must be a thief. Take off your shoes. No. I had come to report these people who do what? Who shout at night. Then he says, okay, put them on, but never come back here to waste our time. Then now you're in what? That is called dominion. Praise the Lord. And you have to learn that everything that you see, where you see an issue, you understand? That you know, whatever. Now we have here some very powerful coaches. And you know why is all coaching? You are the solution. God has prepared you for that. In every area you see an issue, you know something lacking, and you become passionate about it. God is setting you up to be the solution. Because when he has you there, he has what? He is in dominion. The Lord is in dominion when his children are in what? Yeah, when he has you there, he says, okay, there we are sorted. Nobody is going to pass fake laws. Because you see, laws are going to be one of the main things. So I'm going to end by saying this. All these things we've been talking about, the new world order is going to do this, going to do this, going to do this. We are not supposed to talk about them as defeated people. Amen? We are supposed to talk about them as people in authority. People who know what they are doing and set ourselves in a way that when they come here, we are ready for them. GMO, sorry. We already have hundreds and thousands of hectares of organic plants. We don't need your GMOs. They come here in this way, you say, no, we don't need. They come in the education sector, trying to spread, trying to tell us how to teach, children in school, sexual practices. We say, no. From education, the ministry, for very soon, right now, of course, there is, you know, you understand? So now, where I used to get angry before, can you imagine these scandals? Investor in Lubowa, who were giving money to build the hospital. Now I don't care. I just say, sell your garment and get a sword. Sell your garment and do what? Buy a sword. That's my attitude now. I don't get emotionally worked up and what. I'm going to sell my garment and get a sword. So that when I stand there, all that rubbish ends. Amen? Because I'm a solution. Somebody say, I'm a solution. And my solution, say, and my solution, is not just talking about it. It's not just writing about it. It's not even just praying about it. But it is about doing it. Praise the Lord. So I have to sit on that throne. For God's, continue saying, I have to sit on that throne. For God's purposes to be fulfilled in this world. Hallelujah. So somebody is going to go and sell his sword. A man is what? His garment. And buy his, whatever LC1, LC2. By the way, in the next elections, anybody who God has given a spirit of leadership, and you're just there supporting, how do you support a Muslim? Like, how stupid can Christians be? If he goes through, at least let him go through without your support. Like, you have to be someplace. Some people who are supposed to be, now I've even seen somebody who is supposed to be standing for what? For parliament. And he's this direction and he's looking at me and he's from the west. And he's looking at me like this. But I will not tell you, you discover it yourself. Go and sell your garment. And get a what? Sword. Because don't expect that somebody is going to. We have to put our roots in all these places for it to be effective. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha ha ha. God is good. Ha 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 ha. Okay. Somebody say, I don't wield my sword in vain. Put up the scripture, Romans 13:4. Start in the middle. For I do not bear the sword in vain. Say it with me. For I do not bear the sword in vain. For I am God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Kasai didn't write those words. To execute wrath. What? Glory to God. Okay, I finished preaching. If you have any political ambitions, however small, you stand up. However small, even it is Mayumba Kumi. However small, you stand up. Now is your moment. I'm waiting for that guy whom I know, but I'm waiting to see if he's standing up. But I'm not going to look in his direction. But I know he's supposed to. Okay. So all of you are all of you are ready to sell your garments.
Praise the Lord. You are ready to sell garments to get a sword. Eh? Now even the guy I'm talking of is not standing up, but it's okay. Anyhow. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Because there's somebody I see who works in the medical field. Who works in the medical field. But it's a lady. But not any woman who works in the medical field, you come. A lady who works in the medical field, you come. Not necessarily as a doctor or what, but in a hospital, you know. Like, what do you do? What's your name?
Carol.
You work in a hospital?
Yes.
Is it a government hospital?
No, it's private.
Which one?
Nakasero Hospital.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, you're actually the one I wanted. The one I was looking for. So I am going to put you in a top administrative position.
Amen.
Huh? But then it's not in that place. Eh?
Huh? Amen.
Because what I'm seeing is government. Eh?
Amen.
Huh? But scope.
Eh?
We first come. How long have you been working there?
Since 2017.
Something is going to open for you. And sometime this year, after media, soon after media, and she's going to be in a government hospital.
Amen.
Actually, I'm Mulago.
Amen.
Why are you smiling?
Because I've been praying for a promotion.
Okay.
Yes.
And like in top administrative position, and not in finance, but in real administration.
Amen.
What did you study?
Procurement and logistics.
Are you sure I don't know anybody who works there?
No.
Or in human resource, because I'm seeing like somebody contacts you, whom you know,
okay.
And somebody whom you know. You wait. You first come. You're the man I'm talking about. You're supposed to be a politician. Eh? But you don't feel it yet. Because you're still holding on to your garment. Eh? So in the day, and I'm really seeing it. So if you mess yourself up, I'm not going to tell you much. I didn't even want to tell you this much. Eh? Can you imagine I waited for you to stand up and you refused? You stay standing. In the name of Jesus, I put you on top of a throne of administration. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you work at Nakasero with a relative or...
No.
Where's your mother?
She's in Saita.
What does she do?
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. She has not been in the medical profession before?
No, but she was an administrator before.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray, I set you in that place. Eh?
Amen.
In that place of promotion that you've yearned for. And it will even be bigger than what you thought. Eh?
Amen.
It will be bigger than what you thought. Because it will come with some perks. Eh?
Amen.
You understand? Eh? Of a top administrator in that place. Eh?
Amen.
And you'll cause change. Okay?
Amen.
And now, because you've had Okay, the hospital you work for is a rich person's hospital, but still, you have this thing of how hospitals operate, and you know that you're not happy about, as if you know. Have you ever had those feelings of, you know, these hospitals, how they make people suffer and so on?
Yes.
And you get concerned about it?
Yes.
And you don't know that you're being set up. Now, where you're going to be in an administrative position and you can cause change.
Amen.
About how hospitals treat people who are sick.
Amen.
And not treat them the way they treat them, you know. And even you've had concerns that they are interested in their money. You've thought that before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you feel that, you know, these people, they're interested in their money. They even make them, these are arguments you've had in your head before. They even make increased time of being admitted.
Yes.
Because they want to make money. True?
True.
Have you had those feelings
yes.
before?
Yes,
and you feel it's unfair?
Yes.
And you feel people are being squeezed and so on?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're going to be the change you have
Amen.
Been wanting to.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, when you get there,
yes.
remember, why God put you there? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person. You come. What do you do? Come. What do you do?
I work with an investment company. It's called Pledge.
What do you do? I didn't say what do you, who do you work for?
I work as a client's manager.
Client's manager. Okay. What political ambition do you have? You can't tell me secret. Okay, receive it in the name of Jesus. That's what you desire, to lead that thing. Eh? Okay. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. It is yours. Eh? Now go and take it. And the favor of God takes you to the top. Eh? And you begin to see it with immediate effect in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for each and every person who is here, who believes that they are going to take a place of leadership. Spirit of God, even as you gave me these words yesterday, I thank you because your children move and they understand what they are supposed to do and what this is about. Now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that everybody leaves this place knowing where they are going to sit and be a solution. Where they are going to sit and be a solution. Now you, what did you say your name is? You know a lot of things have, take the microphone over. You know a lot of things happening, which like have upset you, in all that thing. I'm now seeing, you know how, and it's especially at the beginning, where you'd see and say, no, but this is not fair. How could they do this? This old woman, how could they do what? And so on. Because she has, you know, very rich children and what. And you just see that. Praise the Lord. Now, you are going to be a change in that place. Not that place, but in that field. That field. Now, that's why the Lord was showing me something in medical. Because you are going to be a solution in it. In the name of Jesus. Now somebody state quietly what you are going to be. Say, I am this. Say, I am this. What it is. Say it. Say it. Say it and receive it. Have you said it? Have you said it? Okay. It is sealed. It is sealed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.